This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Little tidbits, because we kind of pretty much already wrapped up our thoughts on the halftime show.
Shakira won, hands down.
J-Lo won. J-Lo putting her 11-year-old daughter out there. I wasn't aware of that.
That was pretty
time,
cool.
But that
she
was
sang,
cool.
And then Shakira played drums for him. I thought there was beef between the two because J-Lo wanted to be last and be the headliner, and her name was first. But apparently not because they performed together. I don't know.
It's weird how those things work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was worried from the standpoint of who had... It seemed like Shakira had more time on stage to do more of her songs.
That's because J-Lo's 50 and doesn't have the stamina she used to.
Okay. There's your hatred again. By the way, in terms of...
You take my hatred for J-Lo personal.
No, I don't.
I don't hate you. I just don't like J-Lo's performance.
Fine. I hate A-Rod, but I don't hate her.
Oh.
I can understand why you hate A-Rod. Everybody hates A-Rod.
Pretty much. So when you were talking about the tweet you sent out with the prediction of the score before the game and said, you know,
don't at me afterwards. Yeah, this aged well if I'm wrong.
A lot of people were adding Troy Aikman.
Why?
Troy Aikman got, you know, there was that little stretch where he was getting real sensitive and responding to everybody on Twitter because he didn't like the fact that people were saying he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, that his numbers weren't great and everything like that. So they went and they started looking at the stats earlier in the year. And they said, did you know that Patrick Mahomes has 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in 8% of the games?
Damn.
To which Troy Aikman responded very quickly, talk to me when he's got a third of my Super Bowl titles. Well, after last night.
He does.
He does. And one fan that I believe started the whole tweet said, hey, Troy, you up? And just left it there. And it
I hate
so
Twitter
well
sometimes.
Played.
I
yeah.
hate Twitter.
They always want to bring everything out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's, boy, I feel Troy's pain on that. There are some dumbass people on Twitter.
Twitter has the receipts.
There are some dumbass people, though, and they cannot wait to be petty.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God. People on Twitter love being, I'm just trolling. I'm just like, what's his name that I just tweeted back?
Nick Bosa?
No,
yeah,
Scott
you know,
Deer Park.
And Nick are tight.
Yeah.
Scott and Deer Park, where he's like, be quiet, Barry. You're a freaking cat person. Ooh.
I'm a cat person, too. Like, so if you're coming after Barry on that, you're coming
right.
after me.
Well, you guys are related. So,
no, we're not related.
That's what a father and son are supposed to do.
I just think that's so dumb that dudes get this manly, masculine complex about owning a cat and versus cats. It's just like, get over that. That is literally the dumbest thing ever. You can actually, and believe it or not, you can actually like cats and dogs, and
yeah.
it's okay.
Who knew?
What? You mean you don't have to pick one? It's like you can actually like and not like both the previous president and the current one.
See,
that's
like,
possible.
When dudes try to like make that whole distinction to whether you have to be a cat person or a dog
stupid.
Person, that's like Twilight stuff. Like, you have to be a team like Robert Pattinson or the other dude. It's like, that's pretty girly if you ask me. Like, if you're making people choose sides, you know?
Did you just use a Twilight reference?
Yeah, Twilight.
I'm just letting it all marinate.
Trey, no one listening to this show or on this show
Are
currently
sure?
hosting it watches Twilight.
I'm sure there's some listeners that watch Twilight. I guarantee you.
Well, yeah, because we're in the parental pickup line now. And so there are probably some people listening to the show that are stopping to get their high school kids. And they watch Twilight.
By the way, Nick did inhale helium. This is Nick Sciarra here.
Vegas was one hell of a trip for Nick.
Yeah, I don't know
he came
what
back
happened.
And will never be the same.
I just want to say shout out to whoever sent this to me.
Donna.
No, Brandon Whitehead, who said, look, this Chiefs player, Derek Nnadi, is paying the adoption fees for all the dogs currently available at the KC Pet Project. I think that's badass. I love it. You know, if you win something big and you want to give back to the community, and I said in jest to you, but see, that's where your money is
now,
well spent.
Now, being
that's
married,
where your money is well spent.
Being married to Lisa,
yeah?
the animal lover like I am. Let me tell you what the response to that is. That's a horrible idea. That's ridiculous. Do you know how dog fighters and people that fight dogs and abuse dogs get their dogs easiest? When there's no pet adoption fees. Because now there's no responsibility. Now they're just going
to
adopt the dog for free and mistreat
the paperwork.
Them. Doesn't make any difference. They're not going to pay the money.
I just adopted a dog. You still have to fill out all of the stuff.
Depends on where you adopt them from, too. But yeah.
Well, he's at the KC Pet Project when he's the line was around the corner.
So you fill out the paperwork. And
the
you
line
get
the, was around the corner. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh.
See, this is what you
this
did.
This isn't a personal attack on you every time I disagree.
I'm coming back at you. I'm just giving you the other side of it.
Oh, my God. Talk about petty today. It's not a personal attack on you that I disagree with you.
Do you think I'm that serious about this?
Yeah,
I'm telling
because
you what
you wouldn't
Lisa
let me finish
me.
My statement. Like, I'm literally just telling you that I think that that's the way you spend money to go out and let people adopt dogs.
All right, so are you, as a Trump supporter today, are you in the camp that a lot of Trump supporters...
First of all,
yeah, no,
don't
no,
you
no,
put
no,
that
no.
on me, Ricky Bobby.
You were saying,
don't you dare.
You supported the fact that you understood it could be
that's
in Kansas.
I support Trump's lack of geography. How about that? Because I too, share the same ignorance.
So there were Trump supporters that believed that
oh my gosh,
the halftime show was too racy, too hip-moving, too booty-shaking, and if you were watching with kids, it was not appropriate.
They call
you can't
them
just assume it's Trump supporters, though. There's probably some Hillary supporters.
From the people that sent it out,
no.
There were...
Well, El Jefe tagged us on some on Channel 2 site. Tamara Brothers Harcourt said, "One step from a porno." Someone
it wasn't
needs
that bad.
Someone needs to tell the NFL that horny men and illegals are not the only people that watch football.
Whoa, she said illegals?
Yeah.
Man, that's racist.
Jackie Watkins said, "Is this still America? Now the Super Bowl halftime show is in another country's language?" Not true. "Good grief, that was horrible. Commercials are nothing special or memorable so far. The strippers were disgusting and the Cuban flag was terribly inappropriate."
I feel like every year the Super Bowl halftime show happens, people just get mad to get mad about it.
It's like the only way that Jackie and, what was the other chick's name? Tamara were going to be happy is if it was Toby Keith. Otherwise, they were just not going to like the halftime show. People are dumb. Like, really, really dumb. And I get it that old people see that and think it's offensive, but... You know,
it wasn't just old people. There was just I just think that's out there. That's like,
did you find it like a little? I mean, like if you had a daughter that was like 7 or 8, would you have been upset that she watched that?
No. Nope.
Okay.
No.
Because you're a rational human.
Because Taylor also watches a lot of it and wants to dance.
Yeah.
And so she was watching a lot of the choreographed dance routines at the start, and she was very much paying attention to that. But it's also the people that said, and I don't know if you heard this. Too, just the halftime in general, they were like, what? There were people offended from the standpoint that it was too Latin-based.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And so they're like, what? So Miami gets the Latin-themed halftime show, but in Atlanta, instead of keeping it real, they had to go with, and I don't even remember who the Atlanta, Maroon 5. It was,
they wanted Outkast, right?
Just remember the fact that this change in NFL's philosophy and look at the halftime show changed this last year when Jay-Z was brought on board. So you can't go back and be and make those assumptions. But the fact that their halftime show, I think they got it right this year.
You know, it's funny that people like this, and you, let's be real, it's ugly old women that get upset about J-Lo and Shakira shaking their ass.
That's true.
At the halftime show. It's old, ugly women that are, well, they're upset because they spoke Spanish and had a Cuban flag. Trust me. And they're upset because Tammy, their wife from accounting, is sitting next to them. So they have to say that it was inappropriate. They got an erection. Don't let them fool you. They just wear baggy Wranglers so it doesn't show. But it's so funny to me that we want to be so, like, people want to come out and oh, this is America, and this is the greatest country on earth, and we're going to make it great again, and if you don't love it, but then when it comes to inclusion, nope, nope, no inclusion whatsoever. It's white or it's nothing. Get over yourself. There are other people who represent other nationalities that live in this country. In fact, I just found out, I didn't know this, I'm 21 years, I'm married to my wife, I just found out Nora is a third-generation American. Her great-grandfather was Mexican on both sides, or no, one side, and then the other was a great-grandmother was Mexican. I'm very proud of that, that I'm married to a third-generation American who came over and, like, what happened to inclusion? What happened to being okay with this being a melting pot? I just don't understand that part of it. If you want to say it was racy and they shouldn't be dressed like that or whatever, that's one thing. But to sit there and try to say that it was, oh, it was all done in Spanish. No, it wasn't. Because J-Lo doesn't sing all her songs in Spanish. So that's just not true. Shakira, I don't know what she says half the time anyways. I don't know what language it is. I just can't understand her.
It's just the language of love, Barry.
The language of love?
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, several people were texting and tweeting and telling us that the la 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 at the end was actually because of her Lebanese heritage, that that's a sign of celebration for the Lebanese. So that's why she did it. As
good to know.
Just as a thing. So now here goes... Tammy and Hank are going to be upset again. These damn Lebanese are taking over America. It's one chick at the halftime
That's
show.
That's what Bobby doesn't call.
Settle down. Who?
Bobby. Remember he called that last time?
Bobby can, Bobby can shut up too. And it just, man, people, it is frustrating sometimes to just be in, around people. Boy, I don't know. I got to get off Twitter sometimes.
Welcome to a Monday on The Usual Suspects. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. We got about 45 minutes to go on the show. So if you want to join us, you still can. Let us know on Twitter, on text, or call 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy as well. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job here in the Houston area. And I made the switch to Infuse Energy about 3.5 years ago. I just re-upped with them. And why wouldn't I? They saved me thousands off my bills with my previous energy provider. They can do the same for you. They've done it for several listeners. And all you got to do is call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. And when you call, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not just an automated system. And they're going to walk you through everything while they ask you a bunch of questions so that they can pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business? And then they'll get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. It's just the way trusted friends should do business. And that's the way they like to look at themselves. So much so, if there's a company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know. Because you may not go with them this time, but you'll go with them at some point. Because they're honest and above board. It's simply put, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, rolling through the final hour of the show. Barry, Joel, and the effervescent and ever chatty Juggalo Trey.
So are we going to have 6 more weeks of Twilight because you saw your shadow yesterday?
Yeah. I didn't watch the movie either. I just said the first thing that came to my head.
Gotcha. No, that's fine. We appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Yeah, pecs are tiny.
That was pretty good. That's a good one.
Thank you.
So two things to clear up. Several people texting and tweeting us about both of these. One was the fact that it was the Puerto Rican flag, not the Cuban flag, as the lady was so upset about in her post on Channel 2 about how our country is going to hell in a handbasket because of Cuba. And I hate to tell that lady, but Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. They're pretty much part of the U.S. So all she did was represent another U.S. territory on stage along with the American flag was on the back, by the way. But it was a Puerto Rican flag. And the second thing is, which I think is really important to point out, these old ass ugly white women weren't upset when Adam Levine was shirtless during the Super Bowl. So several people have brought that up and sent memes. So I think it is good to point out the hypocrisy of both of those. Yes, the women were going absolutely insane. And Trey said he thought that Adam Levine was hot, too.
I didn't say that. No, I mean, he's a good-looking dude. I'm not gonna say he's not.
You said you like to meet him
that.
At a truck stop.
That's
what'd you say?
Not what I said. I said he looked like the stall of a truck stop.
Oh, okay. I thought you said.
Why do you always got to misquote me?
I thought you said that you wanted to meet him in a
truck
stop.
Trey, preach.
That's my fault. Okay.
That's not what I said.
I apologize. Oh, no, we can move on.
You're sure?
100%.
I didn't ask you.
Oh, my bad. My beat.
Just over there just talking.
I mean, seriously. I mean, we're mid-conversation. I was here. I like to tell you that I didn't think that. Well, I thought she's hot. Really?
We love
Where'd
you, Trey.
Where'd that come from?
We love you, Trey. I mean, not at this moment, but we do love you, so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of them is.
Uh-oh. Why are you asking on air?
Is it white?
Oh, this is the worst radio ever. Let's do it at a break. Cool? Trey, goodness gracious.
I'm
you
sorry,
can't be doing that in the ear.
It came like at a weird time.
Yeah, it did. We're on air making major market
is that
radio
what she
moves.
Said, Trey,
I didn't say it on the mic. Nobody heard me.
No, I know, but it just made it weird. You made me panic like my car was getting towed.
Okay, good. I'm glad your car's not getting towed.
You freaked me out. Is it? Because I do drive that.
Is it a
the
silver
good radio
one?
Continues.
No.
Okay, you're good.
Okay.
I guess we're back doing good radio.
God. This is such
all right, so before we get off the air, and with all the Super Bowl that we've already gotten to, the Rockets did win yesterday. They won both their home games this weekend. They beat the Mavericks. They beat the Pelicans.
It felt like a loss to the Pelicans.
Both of them had their moments where the one thing that I'm starting to pull from these games more and more is it doesn't matter who the other team is missing. It seems like it's still always going to be a game, and that bothers me.
Yeah.
And this team more and more looks more and more vulnerable, and it's very disturbing. And now, Barry, remarkably, something we brought up on the show, I would say weeks ago, because especially when right after I said that, you know, Eric Gordon can't be traded, and Nick, who is the biggest Clint Capella fan on the planet, I said, are you okay with trading Clint? Because I think that's your only asset that's going to bring anything back. And now the rumors are out there that the Rockets are shopping Clint Capella to an Eastern Conference team or teams, trying to, in return, get picks and things necessary so that they can acquire not only a wing, but another center.
Yeah, I think the experiment for them is done. I don't think they feel like he fits what they're looking for offensively. I think he's, to me, I think his biggest problem is he's still too soft around the rim. He's not a power center. And it drives me insane how many times he laid the ball up or he doesn't dunk or he misses the dunk. And I feel like that they gave him ample opportunity to fit what they needed, and he hasn't.
I think the biggest problem overall, in my opinion, is he just is offensively challenged. And he's always, it's like Dwight Howard. At a certain point, you just say, no matter how, either in the case of Clint, he works hard at it. He's just not getting any better at it, as opposed to Dwight, who just didn't really think he had anything to work on. But the thing that bothers me is, I get it. If you're going to move on from him, that's fine, because you do obviously need help. But this, it's already been gimmicky with Mike D'Antoni. But the fact that he's now doing something that hasn't been done since the turn of the ages with basketball, trying to think that it's a good idea to start a lineup and all the guys you play 6'5" and under. You're not going to win a title. You can win an intramural championship in the 6 foot and under league. You're not going to win an NBA title in the 6'5" and under league.
Do you think that they just feel like that? It's funny because I feel like in a way that maybe they're trying to say that Capella has been the issue.
But if he is, you've got other bigger bodies. Hartenstein hasn't exactly shot himself in the foot. You know, he's not going to be an all-star center, but he can rebound. He can block some shots. He can protect the rim for you. I mean, are you telling me that Tyson Chandler is even worse than Nene? That he can't even get on the court anymore?
I would be interested to see, like, so Capella is fourth in the league in rebounds per game. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the Rockets are in rebounds, because, man, you get rid of him. And if they're already not a great rebounding team, but it's going to get real bad real fast.
Well, the one thing that people aren't aware of that I was surprised by, which is if you take their offensive efficiency rating when he's on the court and when he's not, and the defensive efficiency rating when he's on the court, they're actually a better team when he's not on the floor.
The Rockets?
Yeah, both offensively
they
and defensively.
They are 24th in the NBA in rebounds per game. And you're going to get rid of him.
I mean.
He's fourth in the NBA in rebounds per game.
I get it. And I'm saying that, you know, you got to be careful because I said Daryl is quickly running out of assets. And if this is the one guy, you better get a hell of a three. And how you're going to get a three and a center out of a deal,
Well,
now granted, he's making 14 plus mil a year.
If you get a 3 and draft picks, then you can go get the center with those draft picks.
They're talking about a center,
right?
For this year.
Right, but I'm saying if you get a 3 and draft picks, then you take the draft picks and then they'll trade the draft picks for a center.
But in order to get the 3, a lot they're saying in a 3-way deal, you're going to have to move the draft picks that you get.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they'll do.
So you're saying in the 3-way you're going to get not only a 3 but the center in one deal.
No, I'm saying you send Capella to a team. And in return, you get either the wing or the center and some draft picks or a draft pick or whatever. And then you'll turn around and flip that pick for whatever position you didn't fill, the wing or the center position.
Okay. I'll see if they can get that. I don't know if they're going to get that much.
You're not going to hang on to the picks. You're going to use them to flip it and fill the other role. If you swap center for center, then you're going to go out and get your wing with the pick you got. But I can't believe that people think that highly of Capella, that they would send draft picks and another player.
Really surprisingly, now, obviously it's gonna be a they say player. The lead trade partner right now has been Atlanta. They wanted Drummond, and that fell through. So now they're talking about either Steven Adams or Capella. Have we missed something that the new style of play in the NBA says in order to win and be effective, you need a very big man?
Who is Atlanta wanting to move? Did they say who the Rockets would be considering?
They haven't said about who the guys coming back would be. And obviously in a 3-way, I don't think Atlanta has anything that the Rockets want. I think it would be more or less, like you said, to get picks so that you can swing them and flip them into something. They've coveted Covington from Minnesota. There's been a few guys that they've been after per se. But to me, I don't get what Atlanta's doing, but I haven't gotten what Atlanta's been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, outside of drafting Trae Young.
Yeah, I'm looking at...
But even still, you gave up Luka Doncic to do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. I don't know. To me, it seems... It reeks of desperation, and the 6'5 and under lineup is gimmicky. And to me, it's just like more and more, I have more concerns about this team and its ability to try and turn this thing around this season.
I mean, the only 3 names that stick out to me on Atlanta's depth chart that they might be after, and I don't think that they're even consider moving DeAndre Hunter.
No, he's good, and he just drafted
him.
He's
a wing player. Yep. But John Collins, power forward, and Alex Lynn is the center.
I think John Collins is the guy that they've liked, one of the guys they've liked. I think that's one of the names I heard.
And his, statistically, I mean, he's having decent, he's putting up decent numbers, but why would Atlanta want to move him?
Well, the other thing is that, again, like I said, that's why they're not making a deal just simply between the Rockets and the Hawks. It seems like they're going to need a third team involved because there has to be something else, somebody else somewhere.
Well, Alex Lynn's numbers aren't great, but
oh, my God, please don't get Alex Lynn because you want to talk about...
Well, who else would they be moving? I mean, he's a center, so, I mean, what do you...
I'm saying you got to get a third team involved where you can get, like
the Hawks
one of those guys, or if not both of them. Because I don't think anything on that roster is enticing enough. Because here's the thing.
Well, John Collins' name has come up in trade rumors, right?
That's what I thought. I thought I had heard that
Miles
name.
Turner also came up in trade rumors, too.
So it's possible that maybe that is the deal.
Now, let me just say this, just so that you guys are either with me or against me on this. But you have to get better if you're going to make any move involving Capella. Don't make a trade just to make a trade at this point or to like call it a push. They have to get better. So whatever they do with Clint... coming back, you better be a better team. And I don't know if they can do that.
They do have to get better, but I think you have to be patient, too. You have to make sure that this move or the moves that occur immediately, it's not, it could be the first of a second move, if that makes sense. So don't freak out if Capella gets traded for a box of popcorn because they, Maury might have plans.
Yeah, trade deadline is Thursday, 2 p.m. Central. So to Barry's point, the first foot... may fall the first, but there might be more to the deal or another deal to follow. But we'll see because the Rockets are seemingly active as Daryl tries to make this team better between now and the All-Star break as the deadline is Thursday. Back with the final half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So we were talking a little hoops before we span the globe a little bit further in our final half hour of the show. And let me just say this. We were talking about Rockets only and trade possibilities and all these other things. If you were in Houston and lucky enough to have a ticket to that game Sunday, you saw something serious. The heart and soul was used like a trash can. Your boy PJ Tucker. Zion Williamson is a beast.
Mm. He's pretty good.
Mm. I mean, I wanted to see for myself because I'm like, I understand the hype because a guy that size and he can jump the way he can jump and he's so athletic. And I was curious. My God, he did whatever he wanted. I mean, there was, and it seems like the trend every single game is he has more points than minutes on the court for the majority of the game. And between his, I'm thinking 1 year in college, I'm not expecting polished post moves, going different directions, really throwing the defense, and then start the game off with a 60-foot alley-oop pass in which he goes over Harden. And the thing that really stood out to me the most was, not to say that it wasn't a very athletic play, if you saw those NBA rims, which are hyper tight. When you dunk and you go to pull it down, you really got to come with a lot of force just to get it to move a little bit. He made that thing look like a trampoline the way it sprung down and popped back up. I'm like, oh, this kid, man, he is a beast.
He has the potential to be. I think the big thing is he going to stay healthy? But like you said, man, if he does, look out, NBA.
Making free throws.
Who
if he
would
just
you compare
keeps
him
developing
to?
His shot?
Who would you is he a Barkley? Is he another Barkley?
For those that you're gonna try and compare him to LeBron, stop now because it's not gonna happen.
It's not the same kind of game.
Said Larry Johnson.
It's not the same kind of game. Grandma's not a bad.
But I don't
pick.
Think he shoots it as well as Larry Johnson. I think the Barkley comparisons are good because of the athleticism at his size and because of the fact that we all can remember as the latter Charles came to Houston, he's not a 3-point shooter,
right?
And he was awful at it.
Oh yeah, but he was 4-for-4 in his. Okay.
But at the same time, the athleticism, the fact that he's already becoming more polished in the post, and the way he's able to score at will. I mean, he put PJ Tucker on his hip and had him just guessing which way he was going to go and what he was going to do next.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by that kid, and they are right in building around him because with him and Ingram,
he looked good.
That's the first time in a long time you can say the Pelicans are building something.
He looked like he was a foot and a half higher than James Harden on that alley-oop, by the way.
Sweet, man.
And you know, you said with him and Ingram, I mean, Lonzo Ball, if he stays in his lane and just becomes a distributor of the basketball and just becomes the facilitator of the offense, he has value as well. He's playing a lot better, and he isn't trying to be the – because when the Lakers got him, they were looking at him to be the guy.
Well, he got away from his dad.
Yeah, but he's not that guy.
No.
Lonzo Ball is prototypical point guard. He's old school point guard. He's not even John Stockton. He's bring the ball up, find the open man, or get the play started and get out of the way.
But I say he got away from his dad because his dad was building him up as being a franchise player and being a guy you build around. And instead, you know what he did? He rebuilt his shot, which he had to do. Not a lot of players are going to put their ego aside to do it, and he did it. And now you're right. Now he's got a shot that's getting dependable from three, but he distributes the basketball. He gave Zion so many open looks. That's why if you're New Orleans, don't eat for an instant, a second. Don't think about making the playoffs this year, and don't worry about it. Trade Holiday right now.
Don't you dare say tank.
No, trade Holiday. Because you've got a veteran point guard that a lot of teams want that's still very effective. He's not going to help you in the long term. He's not going to stick around long term. And he can bring you some assets back. If David Griffin sticks to that and keeps doing what he's doing with that young roster, New Orleans is going to have a hell of a team in a couple of years.
I mean, you were right about the Mavs and the way they were headed. So
yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But it'll be interesting to watch because, boy, that kid was fun to watch yesterday. It's a shame that the Houston fans, the first time New Orleans came to town, he didn't play.
Yeah.
So that's it for the year. But that was an impressive little display he put on yesterday.
Some of the comparisons coming in, I don't see it. Somebody said Patrick Ewing?
No, because Ewing's 7 foot.
Yeah, and then the other one, I don't remember who it was. It didn't make sense. Somebody said, this show today is absolutely the best. I've never laughed so hard. Thank you, Truck Driver Joe, driving from Louisiana back home to Houston.
Thank you, Truck Driver Joe. I love you.
What are you doing? Why are you taking credit?
Yeah.
You support it. I'm on the show, though, right?
You are on the show.
Right now.
You are on the show.
Believe me, just right now.
Yeah, probably not ever again.
You have to let, like, You just jumped out in front.
I'm sorry.
You're like,
that's my B.
You're like the anti-Nick. We have to force Nick to talk sometimes.
Oh, no, we don't.
He's not here today. Don't pick him.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I'll wait till
you're just
back.
Like, you're chomping at the bit so much, we can't like get it. A word in edgewise.
Now, when you did the Blitz, did they let you talk a lot, like,
not
freely?
Not very much.
See, so you know that when you did the show with us, we don't care. And that we would just let you say whatever, whenever, right?
Well, I mean, not whenever, or wherever, or whenever.
My hips don't lie, bro.
Barry just went all Shakira. Whenever. Yeah.
Wherever.
You want me to play the sounder again?
No, because it took you 20 minutes to get over there, play.
We're still waiting on Joe Buck's final call. That'll happen during the Blitz.
No, we're good. I'm just saying, you really, when we got a compliment, boy, you could not wait to hop on a mic.
Yeah, I will.
Be like, thanks. I'm the reason this show is funny.
I'm sorry.
Like, this show was never funny.
No, it
without
was always
you.
Funny. That's my
we Trey, I'm just busting your balls. You know we love you, and we're happy to let you talk as much as you... Well, okay, not as much as you want.
Yeah, I'm not very good at... Like, when people are joking and stuff and breaking balls, like, I'm not very good at...
You get defensive.
Yeah, I get defensive.
We're just... I'm just messing with you.
I know.
You know I love you.
I love you,
you're my
too,
favorite
Barry.
Son.
You're not my dad.
I don't have to say I love you, Trey, for you to know it. So
I know. Yeah. I know.
Wow. Wow. That was
so
kind of creepy.
I don't say this much.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely probably wouldn't say it today otherwise. But I agree with AJ. The NFL had their honors Saturday night from Miami, and they gave away all their awards for the season. Not surprising. And I was very cool that in every category, they gave the three finalists. And when it got to MVP... They just showed a Lamar Jackson highlight reel and went, basically, you're probably asking why there weren't other candidates, because there weren't other candidates. It was unanimous and it was cool and he deserved it and he went and got it. And AJ posted a picture of the trophy and oh my God, it's the worst trophy I've ever seen in my life. And the NFL, you've got to do better. You know, I understand baseball's old school, so their MVP trophies are plaques, which I still think is way behind the time.
Yeah.
But at least it's a unique plaque, and it's the same plaque over time. The fact that in NBA you win it, and I think it's the Podolak trophy, but it's actually, you know...
The who?
Ed Podolak trophy or something like that. It's the guy that...
For the NBA?
Yeah, it's modeled after, the MVP trophy.
Really?
Yeah. But it's you know, it's actually a full action... player with the ball. Very, very cool trophy. We've seen it. You know what it is when you see it. Did you say it? A safety pin with an NFL logo at the top of it?
Yeah, it looks like someone found a big-ass safety pin. And they were like, oh, put this logo on it, trophy. It didn't look good at all.
Oh, yeah, this looks horrible.
It's just ridiculous, man.
I sure hope the XFL has a better trophy.
Well, Granato's going to be the one presenting it to someone, right? At the
you think
the year?
So?
I don't know.
Are you? I think. Do you think anybody on the Roughnecks will be MVP?
No.
I like Connor Cook's chances.
Do you?
Do you?
No.
Didn't even know he was a Roughneck. Be honest.
How'd you not know?
Yeah. How'd you not know, dumbass? We're the home of the Roughnecks.
I hadn't done my champs.
Coming.
I.
How do you not know that? You know who the play-by-play guy is for the Roughnecks?
Yes, I do.
You know who's doing the analyst work?
Yes, I do.
Who is it?
Nate Griffin.
Indeed. And the in-arena host?
Yes.
Raheel Ramzanali?
Yes.
Look the hell out. Yes. ESPN's got you covered.
You got Granato doing play-by-play and Nate Griffin doing analyst stuff.
Don't you dare start texting any negativity
the
about that team this
year. The question is, I would have thought they would have been flipped. Really and truly, I would have thought that Granato would have been the analyst. No?
I don't know.
I don't know.
John's done play-by-play.
Yeah.
Okay, so here it is. And by the way, the winner of the NBA MVP, I got the last name right, and then I took it a step too far when you asked me the who.
You went
the winner of the NBA MVP gets the Maurice Podoloff trophy.
Oh, the Maurice Podoloff.
Named in honor of the first ever commissioner of the NBA from 1946 until 1963.
I didn't realize you were talking about Mopo.
And
that's
that
how
note,
I know him.
Boy, are we late for a commercial break. I'm late.
I still don't know who the hell Maurice
so late to my
Podoloff
car.
Is.
I just told you who he was. If you were listening with your ears instead of your ass, it would have made sense to you.
Wow. Yeah,
he was the commissioner of the NBA.
That was very
from
impressive.
Like the 40s through like 1963.
Really? That long?
Yeah.
What did he do again?
Take us to break, Trey. It's your show. Go ahead. Come on, let's go. Do it right now.
Take us to break, Trey.
Take us to break.
I'm taking you to break.
No, you got to say something.
Oh, God bless. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Woo!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Are you lobbying to do this again?
Why are you talking about all the love he's getting on the text line?
No, I'm talking about the bump music one more time. Like,
don't push the buttons. Just talking to the mic.
It's what I do on late hits.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You play one more time? I do like that you played Electric Avenue. You know that's my jam.
I knew that. I played that especially for you.
And I appreciate it. I meant to acknowledge it when you did it, but I do appreciate you.
Y'all don't like Daft Punk?
I don't mind it.
I mean, Daft Punk. I think you are a punk because what you're trying to say is you're trying to cash in on all these people saying that, you know, you should be on the regular producer and then maybe Trey once a week. And then you played one more time just to kind of go over the top.
That's kind of what I do for the final segment, though, like on late hits. It's kind
of. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Well, I understand the Barry Sounds Black part, but do I scream?
No, not usually. No.
So then why suddenly do you think we're trying to be late hits and you're going to do what you do there? We do what we do here.
You're right. I didn't know there was a specific song. Next time, if there's any requests, I can
next
play.
Time?
Yeah, next time, you know.
Casey Kasem over here taking requests and dedications.
Next time?
No, I don't know.
Trey.
Like, you know.
Just messing
with you. I'm pissed now, Barry. I'm done. Huh? I'm pissed off now.
Are you really mad?
The kid's trying to take over the damn show. He's not. What the hell is he trying to do?
I'm sorry, Joel. I'll buy you a cake.
Joel Blank back on The Usual Suspects. Barry Laminack is trying to wrap up the show. Trey behind the glass.
I'll buy you a cake. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you mad.
Again, I'm not Patrick Creighton, so you're not going to win me over that way. Stop doing
harsh.
That.
That was not nice. I like it.
God. I forgive me for not saying this during the discussion, which I had planned on doing when we were talking Rockets, then Pelicans, and Zion. If New Orleans and David Griffin is also smart, they do instead of just Holiday, they have a player that the Rockets should trade, whether it's a three-way or just straight up.
I like three-way.
I bet you do. Three-ways. And they are instantaneously better, and I don't care if D'Antoni plays 6'5 and under ball. They've loved him in the past. If they could get him now, because he really didn't play yesterday, J.J. Redick makes you better.
Yeah, that's a good call.
And if you could give up Capella, you can get anybody to rebound. But if you can give up Capella and you get yourself J.J. Redick,
yep,
you're a better team. And you're a top four team now.
I agree with you.
Because just like your prediction that almost came true with the Rockets almost falling being in the seventh seed, yeah. I'm going to give you a prediction right now.
Okay.
Portland Trailblazers not only make the playoffs, Portland Trailblazers by the end of the year are a top five team.
Really?
I believe it.
Okay.
The way Dame's playing right now.
Yeah, he's on a mission.
And his possessed. Role players are good. And if you get Nurkic back,
they are going to get Nurkic back, right?
He's close. He's practicing.
Yeah.
And if you get one of the extra bigs back,
I think they said after the All-Star break, Nurkic comes back.
Portland could go on a tear. Their schedule lightens up, and they could be a real, real problem in the West.
They're not out of it by any stretch. They are 15 out, but I mean they're ninth right now. But that I mean, you know, yeah, they're 9 games back of Houston for the fifth seed. But over a half a season?
I would be very, very afraid of what Portland can do from here on out, especially if they keep adding players.
Well, they got to leapfrog the Mavericks, Rockets, Thunder, and Grizzlies in order to make that happen. Of the four teams that I just listed, who's the one you don't think they leapfrog? Because you think the Clippers, Nuggets, and Jazz fall out of the top four? Or is that your top four? Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz.
I'm not worried. Denver doesn't bother me.
I'm just saying that those probably aren't changing, right?
I don't think so because they've got a good head start.
Right.
But so, Denver so you're doesn't bother me.
Portland
but I'm saying
makes the five seed. That means they've got to leapfrog all of those teams. If there was a team
Doncic is out for 2 weeks. I'm going through.
Memphis, what I'm saying is, if they don't make the 5 seed, who's the one team they don't leapfrog of the ones I just gave you? Rockets, Mavericks, Thunder, or
Mavericks got problems with Doncic and this ankle problem.
You think it'll linger?
I think it'll be the Rockets. I think it could come down to Portland and the Blazers. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I really think that when they're healthy, and again, you look at them and go, well, they've been healthy. No, they haven't. And without Nurkic and Collins and some of the guys they're missing, if that team gets healthy, I'm just telling you right now, there's enough talent that, and especially when
they're 7-3 right now in the last 10 without being healthy.
And
like you said, Dame's on a tear.
The difference between Dame and James is Dame's doing what he has to do now, but if they get healthy, he has no problem just becoming the distributor again.
Right.
So I would be very worried about Portland.
Two things that I wanted to address that we didn't get to talk about regarding Super Bowl and all the festivities, as I kept seeing commercials for two shows, The Masked Singer and that Legos show.
Yeah. I'm not watching the Lego show.
Why are we excited about grown-ass men and women playing with Legos and making it a show?
So we already know that Trey is 50% in on the two shows.
He
that
loves
you
The Masked Singer.
Yeah, The Masked Singer was awesome.
Have you ever watched it before last night?
No, that was the first time.
And did you like it?
I loved it.
I don't know what happened when Barry was raising you as a child, but obviously your fetish with stuffed animals has gotten to the point where it really turns you on
That's
to see
not
people
true.
In costume.
That's not. I thought it was. I wanted to know who was who. You know, like I was intrigued.
I don't have
and
any.
Thus there's the show.
I mean, I don't want to watch America's Got Talent unless there's comedians on. I really don't want to watch celebrities that can't sing try and sing.
Like now, how do they do that? Do they mask the voice or something like that?
No, they're in this big-ass mascot
costume,
suit.
But you put them in a costume and find out, based on hearing them sing.
Yeah, I'm sure they auto-tune it or something.
Yeah,
it was like their regular voice, but like they tried to sing in a way that you wouldn't recognize. And they give you clues before. Like they give you like clues on like some sort of vignette. And it's like, it's awesome. I really like it. It's really enjoyable.
Awesome.
God, it sounds like the worst show.
8 out of 10.
It really does.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
What is your standards?
You hear he did it again.
What's a 10? What's a 10 to you? What is the best show on TV?
Black Mirror. Is that show even on TV?
No, it's on Netflix. Okay.
Thanks for bringing it full circle,
guys. That tells me all I needed to know.
You don't like Black Mirror?
No. It's weird. It's just it's this generation's version of Twilight Zone. That's all it is.
I
wasn't a Twilight Zone fan.
Really?
No.
I wasn't either, but I thought, like, I liked how all the, there's no story arc, and it's all just individual episodes.
Yeah, Twilight Zone.
Can we get to this Lego show you were talking about?
The Lego show is really dumb.
Now, do I understand right that these people that are, like, Lego artists that are really talented?
Is that what we're calling them, Lego artists?
I don't know what you call them.
It's like a sandwich artist?
All I know is they're skilled at building things with Legos to a certain level. And then, if I understand it right, if their design creation doesn't win, you smash it with a bat or something?
That's really demoralizing.
That's kind of what I was going at. Like,
I feel
you can
like
save it. Barry, you could donate it to kids, and kids can have Legos to play with. But instead, you're just going to break it?
You can still scoop up the pieces and give it to them.
But it'll be broken pieces.
Yeah, make the kids put it back together.
I'm sure you've seen Legos. They don't break.
I used Lincoln Logs, and I was well behind the times.
You play jacks. That's how old you are, huh?
Yeah, what do you call those little wooden sticks with the wooden circles?
Pick up sticks?
No, there was Lincoln Logs, and then there were these little like the little circular discs and the sticks, and you built.
Pickup sticks was the laziest idea for a game for a child's toy ever. It was almost like 52-card pickup. It was the stupidest idea for a game. Lego show, stupidest idea for a TV show ever.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
I don't want to watch a bunch of grown people sit around building stuff out of Legos and then an angry man destroy it with a bat. Although that would be the best part, is if someone cries because their creation got broken.
Bad. If people put a whole bunch of time in it,
that would be,
it may not win, but it was really an elaborate creation.
If someone cried, that would be good. Just break down. You'd be like, yes. Oh, my God. It's the best show. 10 out of 10. This is so great. Watching this grown-ass man cry over his Lego build. That's the only part. Rest of it, what is it just like 28 minutes of watching someone stack Legos?
I don't know because I didn't stay up to watch it.
I didn't either. Did it debut last night or did it?
I think it
was one after the other last night. Like I told you, their network programming day ended at like tomorrow. It ended up at 1 a.m.
Wow.
And you didn't watch that, but you watched the stupid mask?
Loved it.
I got that part.
Wow.
You just turned it off immediately?
Loved it.
Trey, thank you for filling in for Nicholas today.
Thank you for having me.
You did a great job.
Thank you, Trey.
You did an outstanding job.
We love you too. You guys are my family.
But we appreciate you being here. Thanks for filling in and making the show fun.
Thank you for having me.
Dad says take out the trash before you go to bed. No. All right, we got to go. Nick comes back tomorrow, and we roll on with the show the rest of the week. 1 to 4 every weekday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. For Trey and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah,
boy. G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.